A got a surprising diagnosis that threatens her reputation with her lovers. A bad-smelling vagina can totally happen to you. But let's talk about it so you don't feel ashamed and you know what to do when it happens to you. And guys, as awkward as this might sound to you, listen up, because the more you know about vaginas, the more you'll be able to love them. This is Pushing Boundaries with T and A. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Greetings, everyone.
It took us three times to read through that because we were laughing hysterically.
Yeah, we had to do the intro because that's how much shame we have around it.
This is uncomfortable, but I'm telling you my story anyway because I think it could be helpful. It enlightened me.
Yeah, this is a step forward for us. I mean, look.
Oh my God.
Also why it's imperative, and we decided to do a show about it because it's so not talked about and it's so common. Well, like so many women are dealing with, can we say basically
bacterial vaginosis. You're so smart.
Bacterial vaginosis. But look, it's in the camp of like vaginal inflammation, infections.
Totally.
I mean, yeast infections are like right next to it.
But here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I have had a bacterial infection before, but a couple, it wasn't smelly. The only reason I knew is because I was having more discharge than normal, but it wasn't smelly. It wasn't any, but here's what happened. Okay. I'll tell you the story. So I don't know if you guys remember, but we did that episode about group sex a while ago. Mm-hmm. And I went to a mansion party. And so what happened was,
because you can't have group sex if it's not in a mansion.
Right. Well, it just happened to be in a mansion.
Sure.
So anyway, just to reference that, because So I went to the party and I'm wandering around the hallways with my friend, I was with a couple of friends, and all of a sudden, this was later in the party where everyone started participating in various acts of sex all over the place. And so we're just kind of taking it all in, and I walk down the hall and all of a sudden I walk into this one area in this like wall of odor.
Wow.
Hits us, and I've never smelled anything like it. It was some mix between, this is really gross, I'm sorry you guys, but we need to talk about it. So it is this really weird mix of like garbage but feces or something. I didn't know what was going on. It was really, really bad. And I turned to my friend who's a man, and I said, what is that? Like, what happened? Did something die? Like, what? And he's like, mm-hmm. No, that's vagina. And I was shocked because I've never smelled that. I've never had it. You know, it
right.
was just totally a foreign thing.
Well,
it was this mythical thing.
It reminds me
thing.
Of the fruit from Singapore that's supposed to smell like pussy.
What?
Yeah,
like
there's a fruit.
Good.
I think it's like a lot of people say it smells kind of funky and maybe a little bit of a garbagey thing. And like, but it's a delicacy. And men say that it tastes like that. But they do love it. Like I said, it's like a delicacy.
Well, but here's the thing, T, because, you know, you talk about female scent. It's different for every woman, and some women have a stronger scent than others, but it's not necessarily this bad, unhealthy smell, you know.
Right.
So I'm like, wow, that cannot just be a woman's natural scent. That just there's no way.
So a light bulb went off.
So
for you.
It was just enlightening, right? I happen to have this. I call it a condition because it's annoying. But ever since I was a young kid, when I was six, if there's something that I get really curious about, like the first time it happened, this girlfriend in school had this like mark under her eye that looked like a mechanical pencil had poked her and like left its lead there. So it was just this little blue mark under her eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, not the eyeball on the skin. And I remember looking at her and I was so curious about it. And I'm like, wow, what would it be like to have a dot under your eye? I'm like, that's so interesting. It's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then sure enough, like 2 months later or something, I had a freaking dot under my eye, just like this girl. And I'm like six, right? But I'm like, oh my God, that's so weird, you know?
And you manifested it.
I don't know. But I'm telling you, throughout my life, this has happened again and again and again with like someone who has back pain. Oh, back pain. Well, you know, and I try to figure out what's going on with their back or whatever. So I don't know if I'm just super empathic or sensitive or whatever, but this happened. So when I went to the mansion party and I'm like, wow, bad vagina smell. What is going on? Sure enough, 2 weeks later, I start smelling funky down there. And I'm like, dear God, is that me? And it was. And I was embarrassed.
Was that a bacterial vaginosis?
So I went to the doctor, and it was, which I was surprised about because I had been diagnosed before in my life with bacterial vaginosis, but it did not smell like that.
Wow.
So then it happened. That was about 6 months ago. It happened again recently, like a couple weeks ago, which is why we're talking about it now.
Yeah. And I think an issue is that how it can go undetected because, well, you're not aware of the scent.
Well, now I'm after that diagnosis 6 months ago, I kind of feel like I know what to look for, where I was feeling like achy a little bit down there, like in my sort of uterus area.
Yeah.
And it just felt similar. The discharge was similar and the smell was very faint, but still there. But yeah, it's sneaky. It totally is sneaky. And you kind of like, you're like, is that me? Is that something else? And then your body gets used to it. And then it doesn't smell like a foreign. It's bizarre. Well, so,
and I think I've gotten pretty good at identifying when something's off with my body. But I think as women, like, it takes a while to start learning or really listening to, you know, if you're feeling cramping down there, is it just ovulating in my period? Or, right. Yeah, or you're like, something's
a lot
definitely off.
To figure
something's
out.
Something's off.
Right. And, you know, and I always thought, and it's because I never thought that this would happen to me because I always associated or thought that any woman who had a really funky smell going on just wasn't in touch with her body,
had
hygiene issues, just wasn't, you know, whatever. But I'm not. I'm super in touch with my body. I'm very familiar. Like, I taste myself regularly just to know, you know.
You eat a very like whole foods diet.
Right. And
not to be confused with the brand.
Right. But it did. But it did happen. And so I went to the doctor again and she diagnosed me again. But she did say, she's like, oh, it's the same strain. And I said, well, what is it? And she's like, well, it's a coli in your vagina. And I'm like, oh, well,
what
a coli causes everything. It causes UTIs, right? When you get
coli.
Yeah, that's the cause of UTIs.
Oh, that's funny. No, I wasn't
you
aware.
Didn't know that? Too?
Well, I knew that it was people always say bacteria. They don't call it E. coli. That's getting into your urethra.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's how my doctors have explained it to me. But she said this particular one that she had tested for, she said, yeah, it's E. coli in it. And I'm like, this is weird that it's happening twice in 6 months.
But does E. coli only come from, say, the anus?
Well, no. She said it also comes from the mouth. So she's like, I said, because she was asking me, well, are you doing anal play or whatever? I'm like, yes, but responsibly, or so I thought. But I'm like, look, it's sex. It's all going on down there. But she did say the mouth does have E. coli, so you can totally just get it from oral sex. Point is, like,
so
if
frustrating.
I know, but she's like, well, the bottom line is you need to boost your immune system. Make sure that, because that's, you know, I guess I'm extra susceptible to it at the moment. I don't know. I'm working too hard. There's a million different reasons why. But anyway, that was my diagnosis.
Yeah.
I never thought it would happen, though, really.
You know what? I mean, a couple things come up for me. I just think about, you know, I've had more issues with yeast infections and UTIs. And I think a lot of women deal with that. Mm-hmm. And I like talking about this, by the way, because the more we're able to talk about it freely rather than feeling shame around it. I mean, it's such a weird thing, but, like, you know, you're still going to work. You're still doing all this stuff and you can be in severe pain. Like, UTIs are really debilitating and, like, make you feel fatigued and all this stuff. And if you can't sort of explain it, like just saying I don't feel well.
Yeah.
Doesn't always, you know, like people, they're like, oh, OK, whatever.
Yes, but yes, you're right.
I don't know if I'm going to tell everyone that I have a UTI, but I will tell men and women equally. Well, I'll say, you know, I have a UTI. I feel really, you know, this is.
And it's shocking how much stigma there is, really. I mean, T, you had told me a story about someone who you grew up around, right?
Well, no. So I was actually in college. First of all, I got my first yeast infection in college before I was sexually active. So a lot of people don't realize you can get any of these without being sexually active. And there's a big stigma around this idea of, oh, you had sex. That's why you got it.
Right. And let me just clarify that bacterial vaginosis is not an STD.
Neither is yeast infection. Or UTI. even though it's like an acronym,
but
like
they can
STI,
result
UTI.
From sexual activity only because
more
there's
common.
Juices. You're having a different, and like a whole different person put their bacteria in your bacteria.
Yeah. Yeah. What's their diet? What's their,
right.
You know.
Exactly.
So I was actually in a dressing room in college, and for whatever reason, the dressing room lady felt very free to chat, or this was stressing her out, I'm sure. But apparently her son's girlfriend had a yeast infection, and she was going off about it. And she said, oh, and she has a yeast infection, so I know they're having sex and I don't want that girl around him. And basically putting the onus on the girl and basically talking about like how dirty she is.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I stuck my head out of the dressing room and I said, actually, you can get a yeast infection without having sex. And she said, no, you can't. And I said, I am 100% sure because I got one myself. Which
good for you.
Thank you. Yeah. That said,
there's a lot of stigma.
Feel like, right, a lot of stigma, a lot of judgment. Again, a reaction that's happening from something that maybe, if it is sex, like people partook in, but it's like the judgment is on the woman. I also feel like, what?
I was going to say, I mean, yes, because a woman has a vagina, it's an open cavity, it's very sensitive.
Such an unflattering way to
describe it. I know, it is. But I'm just saying that, like, let's be realistic. There is a hole in your body where can go in there.
Fleshy membrane. People talk about this. The membrane. I'm just saying that's like a nicer,
I'm just saying that, like, think, if you think about the fact that you have an opening that's actually quite large, mm-hmm. anything could happen. And so I think...
If you don't take care of it.
Right.
Well, by the way, reading...
Or it's,
you
just
know,
a, it's
ways
a delicate
that it can be
ecosystem.
Caused. Yes, a delicate ecosystem, and the way that things like this can be caused. One of the things they mentioned was nylon underwear, right? Like this idea of keeping it dry, like you know, airy. Like you don't want things that are making moisture build in that area,
right?
And I was like, I think 90% of underwear out there for women is nylon.
It's sad but true.
Yeah, and then I thought, well, that's probably when I saw an increase of, you know, getting yeast infections. That said,
but now you just don't wear any underwear.
Yeah, largely.
Neither do I.
If I'm wearing like a little skirt that flutters, I'm like, just in case there's a breeze, I can wear underwear this once. I'm not quite at the phase that I'm comfortable with my skirt blowing up and everyone seeing it on the street.
Yeah, if it's a short,
I'm not that confident.
Yeah, I hear you. But long silk skirts with no underwear is a dream.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, yeah. Getting back to it.
But what I also want to hit on is I feel like there is an indicator that my body is speaking to me about, is telling me maybe what's happening emotionally, or if there's too much stress in my life,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get more yeast infections, more UTIs. I mean, this also relates to the body being run down and more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like we ever talk about that enough. I mean, it took me years to ever acknowledge that and kind of say, okay, what are my physical
even see
symptoms?
A trend. Yeah.
Yeah.
This happens to me too. And so T and I, we were talking about this and we were relating our stories, and it is pretty fascinating, like looking back on my history with this lover and that lover and having different issues. And I feel like with every partner, different physical issues arise with my like vagina's ecosystem. Do you know what I mean? And T.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, basically, to be honest, I didn't really get yeast infections and UTIs for most of my early 20s. And then, you know, I was in a relationship with someone where I started to get them a lot with this person. And it's tough to say, you know, I always thought, well, maybe it's different diet. Like I'm allergic to gluten. I'm actually celiac. I'll projectile vomit if I eat it. And so I was with a partner who, say, eats more breads and these sort of things, which are literally related to yeast. I don't know, but I would get more of these. And also when I was, like I said, physically run down, not sleeping enough, maybe at a festival or something. And
but apart from the festivals, you would still get them.
Yeah, I was getting them more frequently. I think I also mentioned, just basically I felt like I in the relationship I started seeing more of them, and then when I moved out they went away. I've
Bingo.
Hardly had them since I moved out and was no longer in this relationship.
That happened to me too. Well, I wasn't UTIs, but it, like, I would have constant irritation, and I think I was having a bacterial infection. It was just like constant. I was constantly having to go checked up, and they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I was constantly going to the doctor all
but
of a sudden.
I would have pain during intercourse toward the end of the relationship.
Well, also at some point I had a cyst on an ovary. And I went to the doctor. We were having, actually during intercourse, I had a really painful like jab, Like, it hurt. Like, I've never felt anything like it. Went to the doctor and he said, oh, you have the cyst. And again, it's like, is it the relationship? I don't know. But when I haven't had that problem since, you know, and I for me, I always kind of call it stress. But I think stress that was resulting from the dynamic that I was in.
Right.
And I think we never talk enough about this as women either. I think there's a very much of a quick like, and this is almost across the board with health problems, but sure, with women especially, like, oh, just go to the doctor and take this pill. You're fine. And even when I'm at the doctors, I want them to explain a little more. And I get a lot of, oh, just take this. I mean, whatever, it happens.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was her perspective too. I asked her, I'm like, this is the second one in 6 months. What's going on? That's not normal. For like, I don't think that's normal. And she's like, oh no, it's totally normal. She's like, you're, you know, a young woman who's sexually active.
Yeah. And I just, and I don't like that.
Yeah. But that means I'm taking antibiotics, which totally screws up my system, by the way. And I have, you know, I have to take probiotics to get back on track. But
right,
it's not
your
comfortable.
PH and like your physical balance.
Right. And
in
it,
your
like,
body.
It upsets my stomach and like it,
yeah,
my
not,
body is
it's
affected.
It's not good for you to take antibiotics every 6 months.
Right.
Like, ideally, you shouldn't have to.
Right. So I'm like, so first of all, the next time this happens, I'm going to try this boric acid trick
we
learned about.
Hey guys, listen up. Gals, guys who have girlfriends who have problems with this. Boric acid
is the cure-all.
The cure-all.
Well, wait, I don't want to say cure because we're not medical professionals.
That's a good point. But a nice alternative, or while you're waiting to go to the doctor, is boric acid, the powder. Buy it at any, most drugstores sell it. And you can, you know, ask the pharmacist if you can't find it in the aisle. And then you buy the little plastic, the gel caps, mm-hmm. and you fill the little gel cap yourself, put it, and then you insert it into your vagina.
And let it dissolve.
Yeah, well, it's going to dissolve once you put it up there. And it should largely prevent yeast infections. I think it helps regulate, you know, to prevent UTIs. The reason boric acid is not marketed is because there's no way to patent it, and pharmaceuticals can't make money off of it. Out there to say, just, this is why it's not promoted.
Yeah.
But you still need to go to the doctor if you don't know what you have, if this is something you've never had before.
Or talk with your doctor about using boric acid. But I'm going to try it. I'm going to try that next time because I don't want to be on antibiotics again.
Right. I learned this from a friend. Well, and the preventive care of it. You know, maybe right before having sex, or not right before, but maybe the day before, or right after having sex, you can put a boric acid gel cap in.
Okay, right. That's a good
call. So then you're preventing heading down that path.
Bottom line, I need to up my immune system and make sure that I'm strong. However, you know, there is also an element of, for me, what I've come to learn about my body is that whenever something like this happens, some kind of irritation or some undiagnosable rash or some like, or what else happened, UTI, any of this stuff, whenever it happens, I feel like it usually for me becomes a gatekeeper in some way. Like usually for me, it's when I open myself up to someone sexually that I'm like, okay. And then I get a problem, which just for me, it's like, well, Steph, if you're not totally engaged and you don't really want to do it, then don't do it.
Right.
For me, that's the message I feel like I get from my body. And I do feel like a lot of this stuff is linked to
listen to yourself
to
more. Yeah.
No,
more.
I do. And
well, but and I'm going to just bring it back almost more to a, like, I think it's tied to your nervous system. And the nervous system causes a lot of these reactions, like your lymphatic system is tied to the nervous, right? I mean, this causes like your, like herpes, which lead to cold sores, lays in your nervous system, right?
True,
it's dormant
yeah.
there. So when they're stressed, that's usually when they come out.
Right.
But I mentioned that to say,
well,
I think
anything.
Also, I think also it can affect, you know,
a cold.
pH.
I mean, a cold is a virus and it lays in your system. And then when you're...
And I would say if you have a lot of stress, immunity goes down.
We're going to take a quick break right now. Check us out at pbwithta.com. You can get into the conversation there and also tweet us at TA Sex Talk. Welcome back to Pushing Boundaries with TNA. I'm A.
And I'm T.
We've been talking about bacterial vaginosis and how that can lead to bad smelling vaginas.
This was really interesting to me in my research when you were talking about this bacterial vaginosis, because I haven't had that, but I have had the yeast infections and UTIs. Your vaginal pH, normally 3.5 to 4.5. That's when, if you're healthy. Okay, apparently during your period, blood has higher...
It's a higher pH, yes. 7 something.
Right, so you have a generally, yeah, blood has like a pH of 7.4. Mm. So it can throw the pH off of your vagina.
I've noticed also, that myself.
Yeah. Sorry, semen, 7.1 to 8 pH. Like, that's so much higher than 3.5 to 4.5, which would be your natural climate, right?
It just makes sense that there would be craziness going on then.
I guess
there are some different numbers.
Well, you know what I wanted to bring up? I was kind of annoyed in my online research of all this stuff because constantly it just keeps saying,
yes,
women who, you know, if you have multiple sexual partners, you're more inclined to have this happen.
Here's what it goes. It goes, how do you avoid getting this?
Yeah, how to avoid?
Have less sex.
Yeah, have less sex. Have less sexual partners.
Have less sexual partners.
And I don't need you to share that with me. I'm not going to say no to someone I'm excited to have sex with because WebMD said I need to have less sex to avoid yeast infections.
Or the CDC.
Right. And it's just not realistic. Like, what are you talking about? How is that a good recommendation? I mean, this is the same as Catholic schools talking about abstinence, you know, and like cutting education on sexuality.
It's this subversive way of punishing us.
Yes.
And slut shaming women for having multiple sexual partners.
Right.
I feel like it's the system. It's on the CDC's website. That's part of the system where they're like, no, have less sexual partners.
Yeah. Are you having vaginal infections?
Have less sexual partners.
And, you know, problems down there?
Get married, have babies, be a part of the system.
Have one partner. Yeah, here's the thing is you'll still get them. I mean, this is the point. I was in a relationship with someone in a monogamous phase, and I was getting them from the partner. Not from. I mean, I feel like that's putting blame on them. The goal isn't to counter.
You're getting them with your one partner.
By the way, yeast infections can be given back and forth. And there actually is medication men can take. And most people don't know this. But men can go to the doctor and be given a pill to kill any yeast they may be carrying. So if you are with your partner and you see that she's having a big problem with this, you could talk to your doctor. And that might be a good way of cleaning the slate.
Right.
Like both of you take it.
If it's just chronically happening up again.
Yeah, yeah. So you take it and her.
I asked my doctor about that with the bacterial thing. Because again, like the second time, 6 months, I'm like, well, maybe, you know, it's one person. But she said she agreed that could happen with yeast. Not super common, but even less so with BV, bacterial vaginosis. So
wait, she thought that you would get it with the right one partner?
No, that it would come back, that you would transfer it back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And she's like, no, he takes a shower and he's fine. I mean, it's
right. Okay. Yeah, that you don't contaminate your partner.
Right.
There isn't a, right. So this is something that women are more delicate to. The other thing is, I was surprised to read this because, like I said, I've only had yeast issues and we're talking about this bacterial vaginosis. It's a misconception that the yeast infection is the most common problem. Like a lot of women will have a problem down there, like you're saying, like how do they identify it? They'll be quick to say, oh, I'm feeling discomfort, it must be a yeast infection,
or I'm ovulating, or it's just a funky time,
right? But it's actually the second leading type. So only 29% of infections that women feel down there are yeast. So the most common number one is actually bacterial vaginosis, which I think goes back to what you're saying about that sex party, which is, you know, we're not sure, but we're speculating that someone maybe had a bacterial vaginosis infection and needed to address it.
Yeah, clearly,
and that's
yes.
the other thing, right? Like these just
misunderstandings, not knowing what's possible, and or again, just thinking like, oh, well, that's just my smell, that's just my scent, and it could be,
yeah,
but it could also not be,
right?
Because you always wonder, it's like, well, how could they go around smelling like that?
Yeah, it's actually supposed I would say it should smell good in the way that body odor can smell good. Does that make sense? Is that it's like a hard thing?
Sure,
to say.
I mean, I'm not an expert.
It's an acquired scent because we deodorize ourselves so aggressively.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there are women with strong scents. Oh, but I wanted to share.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So
some
I was
are
being
much more pungent than others.
And it's healthy. It's fine. That's their healthy scent.
But it should be pungent,
I was with
delicious.
I was with a lover, and we were We weren't having sex because I didn't want to have sex. I felt like I might be, it's like, oh, I think this might be a bacterial infection. And so we were just sort of slightly being intimate. And he says, he's like, oh, I love your scent. And I'm like, no.
That's not my normal scent.
So I told him, I said, you know what? This isn't, something's wrong. This isn't my normal scent. He's like, no, I love it. I love it. Which is sweet. And he probably was, you know, very just activated and like,
well, and
yeah,
really attracted
whatever,
to you anyway.
Sure. And excited just, and whatever you are, I love it and I'll take it. But I could see how if a woman doesn't know, you know, and a guy's just being in, you know, totally enthralled and not really understanding that there is a difference between that smell mm-hmm. and a healthy pungent vaginal smell, that, you know, you could just keep going. But
this is an awkward situation because it makes me think of a friend of mine once had crabs, and it was a man going down on her who said, whoop, I think you have crabs. And that's such a
that's awful
random. Humiliating experience. To not feel, I mean, obviously, I think there's always your tactful approach in communicating with someone. Is there an issue? I mean, is this a place that, how could a man even, you know, if you do think maybe your partner has something off? I mean, I suppose it depends on your level of intimacy. Like, is it a one night stand? Maybe not your place.
Okay, so for guys who are listening, I would suggest if you think that your partner has maybe having a bacterial infection, maybe ask them like, oh, is this your normal scent? Or, you know, where are you in your cycle? You seem a little different. Or, you know what I mean? Or to
I
ask
like that
them,
latter one, in the sense that if it's a partner whose body you know.
Right,
I mean,
whose body
if
you know.
I wouldn't go there on a one night stand. I feel like it's hard to intimate partners.
Sure, but there's, you know, casual lovers you see here and there. There's
more regularly.
Right. So ask them, you know, I would pose it that way.
Yeah, actually, I like that idea of what you're saying, which is, it's not, whoa, that's bad, but something
this,
seems
this,
different.
Right, something
from
seems different.
From the last time I was down here.
Is it just your cycle, or maybe they've been stressed or eating differently, or maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But it does need
but
to be treated.
But it's something real and something, I don't want to say common, but it's
the most common
infection you can have.
We've all had them. And
as women in our late 20s,
I've had non smelly ones, bacterial infections that don't smell.
God, that's challenging.
I've had ones that don't smell, and now I've had a couple that do smell. So I, you know, and it's like they come in all shapes and sizes, kids.
You know what's funny is I had a UTI recently. I wasn't sure that I had it. I felt the twinge, and then I kind of ignored it. I was like, that's weird because I haven't had sex in a while and you normally get it from sex. Like mm-hmm. even I was had sort of just gotten used to that. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, I think it was travel. I was wearing tights, like all these kinds of things that
different
can create
water,
moisture. And I ended up with this horribly inflamed UTI. Like it was really one of the more painful ones that made me fatigued and irritable.
Lead to kidney.
I was incredibly irritable. Yeah.
And bacterial vaginosis could possibly lead to PID, pelvic inflammatory disease.
What is that? Do we know? Do you know details?
I don't know details about PID. I've never had it, but
sounds
it,
bad.
Pelvic inflammatory disease. It sounds like inflammation, like the whole area is just internally inflamed. I don't know.
Wow.
But
and
so,
you know,
so
they say
it does need to get treated.
This is a further along the road issue, but in theory, it makes you more vulnerable to contracting an STD if a partner you're with does have one.
True. Yeah.
Just FYI, I don't know if that's relevant.
Well, it's always helpful. Knowledge is empowering.
Yeah, so I guess, you know.
So that's it.
I think we're going to, you know, wrap up shortly, but.
In summary, it happened to me. I didn't think it ever would because I'm in tune with my body and a very hygienic young lady and sexually smart, but it did.
Right.
And I was surprised and I was a little embarrassed. And now I'm telling all of you and it's all over the world.
But thank you for sharing it.
Hopefully you won't feel embarrassed when you have one too.
Right. Just confront and
know what it is.
Yeah. No shame. Well, I feel good about that. If you guys have had experiences with that or have felt shame around it and how did you deal with it, share those stories with us at our site, pbwithta.com. You can either call in and leave a voicemail or what is the other way to
email.
Submit?
You can email us. You can
tweet us at
TASexTalk. You can hop onto our Facebook. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Instagram us a photo. No, I mean what? No, but really, I would be interested even in, and even guys, the way that they've dealt with it.
For sure.
Or if you guys weren't sure, you know, give us a call. We'll email you some resources. Cool.
Or share your story. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and please leave a review because that's the best way you can help us grow.
You're listening to Pushing Boundaries with TNA. I'm T.
And I'm A.